This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac Insu.
Can build cities. Can transform the world. And rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac Insu.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
It's time for a Blazers report.
It's time for a Blazers report.
Hello.
Go ahead, go.
I didn't know.
Blazers, go.
It's time for a Blazers report.
They got New Orleans, right? New Orleans sucks, and they're
right.
Hobbled.
Yes.
So
it's time for a Blazers.
Easy win for the Blazers?
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
No, wait. Maybe?
Yes.
It's time for a Blazers.
Sprague was saying they're favored by 8.
I'll take that.
What do you mean?
I'll take the Blazers.
You'll take the points?
Yeah, the Pelicans suck.
Yeah, the Pelicans. Well, there's no Anthony Davis.
No.
There's no Jrue Holiday.
They don't want to win games.
There's no Etan Moore. Who else is out? Is anybody else out? Well, we don't have because, you know.
You're a part of the Pelicans?
No, the Blazers. We. The Zers.
Well, Hood is...
They don't have Harkless.
Yeah, Harkless is out. Hood is with the groin, and he is questionable, I believe.
Two groins. Yeah.
He's got two groins.
They say he's available, but...
And then...
I think that's code for, we probably don't need him.
And then there was someone else. Who else was... Someone else was...
Hobbled?
Hobbled. I don't remember
it's
who
nobody
it was.
Important.
No, it's no one important. Might have been the lesser of the Curry brothers.
Seth.
Yeah, I just call him the lesser of the Curry brothers. Maybe we can get the lesser of the Griffin brothers, and then we can have the poor man's Blake Griffin and Steph Curry.
What if you did an all
brother team?
Lesser brother team? Who would be on the team?
I'm trying to think who else. Well, you got the Morris twins.
Yeah.
Brother.
And I can't. Dude, they went to Kansas, and I can't tell them apart.
No, so I'm not sure.
Which one's better? Which one's better?
I don't know.
Are they both still in the league? Let's talk about that.
I think Marcus Morris is better. Marcus Morris is on the Celtics. Markieff Morris is on the Thunder, right?
Markieff is currently with the Thunder, and he's been traded a bunch, right?
Yeah.
He is new to the Thunder this trade deadline.
I think he's bounced around.
I think he was on the Wizards
Okay, let's just go career, okay?
Yeah.
Markieff, 12 points, 5.5 boards. Okay?
Okay.
Not too bad. Now, Marcus Morris. Yep, there he is right there.
There he is. What do we got?
12 points, 5 boards.
So there he goes.
They're the same.
So how do we choose? How do we choose the lesser of the Morris?
For those that watch a lot of NBA, who's better, Markieff or Marcus? Just text. Just solve this for us. So you could go one of those guys. Oh, what about what about Robin Lopez?
Yeah,
we could
take
one.
Yeah, we take the lesser of the Lopez. I don't think Blake's brother's still in the NBA. But I'm sure he's still in shape. He's probably playing overseas somewhere. We can still probably go grab him.
Now you'd have, I guess you would have Marc Gasol.
I think he's
good.
At this point, it'd be Pau Gasol.
Yeah, but I don't think it shifts. I think Pau Gasol was the better of the two.
But Mark's better now. But right now, I think you get Pau Gasol. I think he's the lesser of the Gasol brothers.
He is currently, but he's not overall. It was Pau, and then
Boy, I don't know. I don't know which is a tougher decision.
Dude, Pau Gasol was the man.
No, I'm saying I don't know which is the tougher call: getting the lesser of the Morris brothers when they're exactly the same numbers, or do you take the overall better career or the better player right now with Gasol?
I think that. Well, that doesn't really.
It's tough.
I have nothing on this.
No, I don't know where we go with this.
You got the Holiday brothers, Drew and Aaron. Aaron's the worst one.
Yeah.
And Plumlees.
You got the Plumlee. We're going back to the Plumlee model.
Miles is probably the worst one.
Miles is on our team.
He's back.
Darn it.
And then you already have the lesser of the Curry brothers. There you go.
So you got Curry, Gasol, one of the Morrises.
Yeah.
Probably Markieff Morris.
Miles Plumlee.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Holiday.
We'll get the
Holiday.
You got Holiday, and we'll get the
and Rolo,
the Griffin brother, to come off the bench.
I love it.
It's not a bad. It's not a bad little team. Not a bad little team for taking the lesser of the brothers.
And which Van Gundy is your head coach?
Oh,
ooh, I think.
Ooh,
well, I think Stan.
Yeah, Jeff is considered this great coach, even though he hasn't coached in like 30 years.
Yeah, but he was in New York and he hung on to Alonzo Mourning's ankle.
But don't you think that's true though? Everybody thinks Jeff Van Gundy's like this amazing coach, and he doesn't coach.
No,
he hasn't coached in. Like, when was the last time he coached?
But here's the beauty part of it. When you're not around to prove that you stink, you can just have the narrative that you're really good.
Well, he was good.
Sure. I mean, they made the NBA Finals, but he hasn't done anything in a long time.
Dude, he hasn't coached since 2007.
Okay.
He sat out for 11 years.
And he probably gets better the longer he's away from the game.
Like John Gruden.
Yes. That is a great example. Thank you for that.
Yeah, he's kind of the John Gruden of basketball, isn't he?
So Gruden was good with the Raiders for just a couple years, and then he ended up going to Tampa, and he won a Super Bowl the first year in Tampa with Tony Dungy's guys. And they didn't do squat the rest of the time he was in Tampa. It was actually kind of a disaster there after that. And then he gets fired. He walks away from it, and he does the Gruden camp stuff. And before you know it, not only did they give him an S-ton of money, but they gave him complete control of the organization. I think being away from the game and then being a talking head like Gundy is, right? He's on there. He makes sense. He's a smart guy. He's well-respected. I think it builds up your reputation because all you get is the positive and none of the negative because you can't lose games. That's Gruden. Gruden gets on there and talks about all his vast coaching experience. He breaks down film. He does the quarterback thing. And before you know it, you're like, John Gruden, the guy's a genius. But if you look back at his record, it's not that impressive.
Here's Van Gundy's record, if you'd like.
Yeah. What's Van Gundy got?
430 wins, 318 losses. He's only coached, let's see, 7 or 8 full seasons, but 44-44 in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And then he took the Knicks to the finals, right?
Yeah.
And that's it.
So, again,
mostly winning seasons.
Solid resume.
But 1 year in Houston, he went 34-48.
But I'm a firm believer that Van Gundy being away from coaching has done more for his reputation than anything he was going to do
on the
floor.
Stan or Jeff?
Because Stan made the finals too, right?
Yeah.
No, Stan didn't make
the finals. With Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
That wasn't... I don't think that was Van Gundy, was it?
No, I'm doubting.
I swore it was, because wasn't that the awkward year where the next season... You had Dwight Howard come over and hug him in the interview, and he was just talking crap about him.
I know there was awkwardness there.
Yeah, it was him.
That was Van Gundy?
Yep.
Well, damn it. I don't know which Van Gundy brother is the lesser of the brothers.
Dude, listen to this. Okay, so they've coached about the same. Okay, so Stan, 523 wins, 384 losses. He's coached a few more games, but about the same win percentage as Jeff.
Yeah.
And I mentioned that Jeff's playoff record was 44-44 mm-hmm. with one finals.
Yeah.
Stan's playoff record, 48-43 with one finals.
Well, I'll be damned.
They're the same man.
This is the Morris thing.
Perhaps they're the same person, and we don't.
Did Van Gundy?
Jeff just puts a fat suit on.
Did Van Gundy eat the other Van Gundy?
Maybe it's
like
Jeff
stole his power.
Well, I think it's Jeff's. I think it's Jeff the whole way.
Yeah.
Jeff is just disguised as Stan so that Jeff doesn't have to take all the heat.
Interesting. What if we could get, because we can't really make a decision. What if we get both Van Gundy and both Morris twins? What if we just take them both and you just, you know, we're like, hey,
I think that's cheating.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's not the lesser of the brothers.
There's also a Giannis Antetokounmpo brother.
Is there?
He's not in the league yet, though, right?
I don't know. That's just what the text line is telling me.
No, because I looked up.
No,
he has a brother who plays basketball. I just don't think he's.
I looked up the
yet.
Best players, the best brothers currently playing in the NBA, and he was not on. And the other Griffin brother, obviously not in there.
There's a list.
Yeah, there was
Who's
a list.
Who's the best? By the way, there are 4 Antetokounmpo brothers.
There's 4 of them?
Uh-huh.
They went with the best. I think the Gasols were the...
Yeah, of course.
Were the best.
Kostas, Thanasis, Francis, Alexis, and Giannis.
Hmm.
How about that?
The Gasol brothers are the only two that are like marquee guys, both of them. Everyone else, there is a clear line. The Morris brothers are just average. And everyone else, there's one really good and one, Not so much.
We're also getting reports of a third Holiday brother.
I don't think he's in the NBA, though.
No, he is.
Is he really?
Yeah. Yeah, there's three of them.
Well, can we take the...
We'll have to take him.
Do we have to take
by
the
default?
We have to take the lesser of all three brothers.
Well, is he worse than Aaron Holiday? Who's the third Holiday brother?
His name is.
I'm assuming he's worse because the Holidays were on the list and they didn't list the third brother. So I'm assuming the one that didn't get listed is the worse.
What is his name?
Dave. Dave Holiday. Bob.
God, I don't see his name here. He doesn't have a name.
He's the nameless. He's nameless. You know what? He's the brother to be named later.
He's the faceless man.
Yeah. So bad.
By the way, I looked up, to your point, what your Van Gundy thing blew me away with the John Gruden. I looked up, so this is John Gruden, right? The genius of the NFL that everyone loves, although people are coming around to my notion that that Oakland thing may not be all that it's cracked up to be. Although they got Antonio Brown now, so everyone's like, well, see, John Gruden's a genius. This is Gruden's record in the NFL. So he's 99-93. And this is, he went 8-8, 8-8, 12-4, 10-6, 12-4, 7-9, 5-11, 11-5, 4-12, 9-7, 9-7, 4-12.
That's some pretty good seasons.
Loser.
But does that sound like give a guy $80 million and complete control of a team? He's a little over a 500 coach.
That's the Raiders for you.
Yeah, it's a bit... it's a bit baffling that someone just decided to give him the reins. He's a really smart guy. Of all the football guys I've been around, I never met anyone that had a better football acumen than him. I mean, some of the stuff that goes on in his brain and his retention, it's like Sean McVay. You're like, holy hell. But I think that being away from the game when you have a high profile is really good for your reputation. I honestly believe that. You get all the positive and none of the negative.
Justin Holiday plays for the Grizzlies.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. So
there you go.
That's
the lesser. That's the lesser.
Lessest.
Does he even play?
That's the leastest.
Are we talking like 1 point, one rebound?
No, he plays.
He plays?
Yeah, 8 points a game.
Oh,
bro.
That's not too shabby.
How does Aaron Holiday do that?
He also played at Washington, apparently. remember that?
No.
Do you remember his 0.7 points per game?
I do not. I do not remember that. Yeah. All of a sudden, I'm not so certain we take. Was it you said Justin?
Oh. Yeah. Does Aaron Holiday average less than 8 points a game? Because then it's still Aaron Holiday.
Just hold on here. Apparently, Justin Holiday, this is like we're peeling back the layers of the onion here.
Yes.
The Blazers signed him.
What?
2012. Yeah. He was claimed off waivers by the Blazers, and then they waived him. So he was a Blazer for 17 days, guys.
Well, I'm not aware of that. And I'm here to tell you.
Guys.
Aaron Holiday. We had it. Our goal here in Portland is to get all the lesser brothers because we had Lopez, we had Plumlee,
we have Curry,
we had Holiday.
Although Mason Plumlee was not the lesser Plumlee brother.
That's right. True.
He was the greatest Plumlee brother.
Yeah, it was that's the Plumlee
model.
That's
why they traded him.
Now, I think Justin Holiday greater than Aaron Holiday. Aaron Holiday is only averaging 5 points.
There you go. Then it's Aaron Holiday.
I think we're back to taking Aaron Holiday.
Done and done.
Yeah.
Wait.
Who would have thought this show would have started with hot Holiday brother talk?
Wait, okay, so Justin, yeah, he's averaging 12 points a game this year.
Hmm?
Well, with Memphis, you know, kind of.
Yeah, they're in the old tankaroo.
Points to be had.
Did you see the other day, speaking of the Memphis Grizzlies, that Joakim Noah hit a uncontested 12-foot jumper in the middle of like the second quarter and then did double finger pistols?
He does it every time he hits a shot because he doesn't hit any shots. And when he makes them, he just finger pistols.
It's like the worst looking jumper. Like Bill Cartwright thinks that guy's an awkward looking jumper. I just love that you hit a meaningless jumper uncontested 12 feet away, middle of the second quarter of like a 4-point game, and you run down the court doing finger pistols. That man is a national treasure, damn it.
Why is everyone saying CJ's brother is better than him?
What?
Eric McCollum? I don't think he's better than CJ, is he?
No.
Yeah, that's what I thought. What am I missing on this?
I don't know.
Well, anyway, if we took John Gruden, we couldn't take John Gruden. You remember, we'd have to take Jay.
Yeah, we'd have to take Jay Gruden. Well, you know what? You could do worse than Jay Gruden. I think Jay Gruden's a decent coach.
So what you're saying is if the Van Gundys are too similar, we go to Jay Gruden to be our head basketball coach.
Yeah. Why not?
That's right.
Again, you know my theory on Washington State should hire Mike Leach to be their football and basketball coach. Why not Jay Gruden? You can sling it around.
Makes total sense.
You can sling it around a little bit. I like what we got going on here.
We're
going
to bring Roger Clinton and his saxophone into the front office.
Come on board.
All right, we gotta get to going here. Hey, special in-studio guest, 3:30. How about that? We're going to find out what it's like to play in the NCAA tournament. Two words, rock chalk.
Ah, yes. Kevin Pritchard coming in?
No.
Oh.
No, he's gone. He's long gone.
Danny and the Miracles?
But there have been a parade of great Jayhawks through this studio.
Yes. You got LeGerald Vick to come in?
No. Don't patronize me, Mike. LeGerald Vick, do you even know who that is?
No.
He's one of their pretty good players, and they just basically booted him off the team.
Oh.
Because he's a bonehead.
Because of the Adidas stuff, I think.
Yeah, the scandal.
No.
I thought that was No.
Wrong. Fake news.
Wrong.
D'Souza.
Did you have a stroke? You're
right. No, I did not. That guy.
Is Silvio D'Souza, correct?
Yeah, Silvio D'Souza, yeah. Okay. He's still on the team, but he's ineligible.
Why don't you just do the LSU thing? Did you see what they pulled?
No, what'd they do?
So, you know, their coach got caught on tape talking about paying for one of their players. And so they suspended the player and they suspended the coach. Well, the coach came out and released a statement the other day saying that it was time for him to coach again. And that even though he's not going to talk to the school about what was on the tape, he's just ready to coach again. And then the player, I guess, got reinstated. The guard, I forget what his name is. The school's like, well, he can't. He's decided to cooperate with the investigation, so we're going to let him play.
They lost today to Florida anyway. It's all karma.
It's just letting him back in. I love it. LSU's like, yeah, I know that we're under investigation and, we look pretty guilty, but, yeah, what the hell? Let's let him coach and let's let him play.
Also on NBC Sports Radio somewhere today, national radio, there was a guy who said sources tell him Bill Self, Chicago Bulls head coach next year.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fake news.
Something tells me the Heat's coming around the corner for Bill Self.
We were talking about that today. He could easily pull a Pete Carroll.
Yeah, he's going to pull a Petey and then be like, well, the opportunity came up and I couldn't say no to it. And what? There's an investigation? I didn't know. And then a year from now, Kansas gets bombed back to the Stone Age with NCAA scandal. And Bill's going to be like, I wish I would have stayed because I would have liked to have written that out. But this once in a lifetime opportunity came up and I just had to go.
Listen, I, with every fiber of my being, want to fight with you on this.
Yeah.
I cannot.
No. I mean, it's
everything you just said is. Yeah. I mean, what am I supposed to say to that?
Nothing.
It's about right.
It's been a hell of a run, though.
It was a great run.
It was a great run.
Great run.
And you got a national title out of it. So,
but let's not bury him yet.
No, but there's a lot of heat.
If only you didn't let Kansas State win the conference this year.
Well, there's a lot of heat on.
Yeah, what is that? The first time in like 14 years
or
something?
That may be another reason why he would leave, is that streak's over.
Yeah, he's like, eh.
He's like, forget it. I'm out. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of heat on all these programs.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not just Kansas. Is that my best? That's probably my best defense.
Your best.
It's like, hey, what? Hey, why are you looking at us?
Look over there. Look over there.
We got to go. Okay. Yes, it is the great Landon Lucas in Studio 330. A lot to talk to him about. But up next, Tyreek Hill. Look at this. The Browns are going to get another receiver.
God. I don't know about anyone else, but I enjoyed that. Thank you.
Thank you. 319 on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, very special in-studio guest next segment. And a little bit later, the Ryan Tannehill talk you didn't know you needed for the day.
Yeah, that's an interesting, it's a very interesting move. And one of the, I think it was their GM.
Who's GM?
The Titans GM.
Oh.
What he said about the acquisition of Ryan Tannehill.
So we'll get to that. But real quick here, Tyreek Hill. So, rinse, repeat, I guess, with Chiefs stars. But Kareem Hunt, you know, just signed with the Browns. It was released today that he's going to be suspended 8 games by the NFL. He was the one caught on the video in the Cleveland hotel.
Shoved the lady down and then, what, kicked her?
So he moves. So the Chiefs cut him. He moves on to the Browns. Browns signed him without even knowing how long he's going to be out. And Today we found out he's going to be out 8 games. Now the Chiefs are in some hot water with Tyreek Hill, wide receiver.
So Tyreek Hill, this is the guy in college that was convicted while he pled guilty to choking and punching his pregnant girlfriend at the time. So they are now, fiancés. I don't think that they're married. But so that kid that she was pregnant with at the time, that's the kid involved in this. So there's two police reports. One was filed March 8th, and it involves Crystal Espanol. I think that's the fiance. And Tyreek Hill is mentioned, and it involves a juvenile that would be their son, and he ends up with a broken arm. So the one on March 8th was noted, and he was not a suspect, but he was a person of interest. TMZ reported that that case was labeled closed and cleared, and prosecution declined. Then there was another report filed on March 14th. This one does not list Tyreek Hill, but it does list the fiance as a, quote, an involved person in a battery case involving a juvenile victim. Again, son, broken arm. And at this point, all they're saying is that they're aware of it. It's an ongoing investigation. And both the police and Kansas City chiefs, I'm sure, are looking into this to find out what went down.
So we don't know.
No, all this is.
But he has a history of this.
He has a history of domestic abuse against his girlfriend, this same gal. This one would be against his son if he's involved in it.
So did he get, what did he get for the first incident?
I don't think he did. I mean, he fell in the draft, and I think he got kicked out of school.
I remember him leaving Oklahoma State.
He left Oklahoma State and continued his career at a smaller school.
He go to jail for that?
I don't think so. I think he pled down and, you know, diversion and whatever, and probation.
Oh, probation. Yeah, it says here he completed probation
in
2018.
Yeah, he didn't do any jail time or anything, but he plummeted in the draft. And it was a bit of a controversial move when he got drafted by Kansas City. But, you know, the guy came out and was a phenomenal player. And then everyone kind of forgot about it and was like, well, go Tyreek Hill. And now all of a sudden it gets brought up. But to be fair...
Yeah.
You don't know.
We don't know.
You just know that there were two police reports filed, and, you know, you got a kid with a broken arm. It's his son, and it's not good optics.
Well, Chiefs can't be feeling good.
No. You know they're sweating bullets over this
with
one.
With Hunt and Hill.
And you'll just...
The Browns are just licking their chops.
I did enjoy when you dropped that Cleveland's about to get another wide receiver.
Did they sign Hill already, or was it just that they were talking about signing Hill?
No, they have not signed him to an extension. So he is in line for a huge contract extension. He's... one of the most dynamic players in the NFL, but and remember, the NFL does not need prosecution in order to suspend C. Ezekiel Elliott. So I'm sure not only is Tyreek Hill sweating out the police investigation, the NFL is going to do their own digging into this, and you know we'll see what happens.
All right, a local kid done good in studio. Coming up next, we'll find out what it's like to play in the NCAA tournament, what it's like to play overseas. First, Mike with SportsCenter.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 3:34 on The Fan. I'm pleased to have a in-studio guest with us. Finally, some real talent in here besides you.
Yeah. Well, and, I mean, the fumble recovery. I mean, you're a Kansas legend.
Well, yeah, but, you know.
I mean, the Pheasant Bowl. I mean, who doesn't?
I mean, they prop you up as, like, some sort of NFL.
I know.
Like, you weren't.
No.
I mean, come on.
I don't know why they do that. I try to tell them, like, prop Cam up. Cam doesn't need to be propped up. Me, on the other hand.
So my golfing buddy from this morning, Landon Lucas, is in studio.
Thank you for having me.
Landon Lucas is back in town. So 4 years at Kansas.
Yep.
Rock chalk.
There you go.
Now we'll just get this right out of the way. Because I want to get to your story.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You got some sweet charity things going on, which I want to get to too. Okay. But we got to talk about your story. Now, you grew up here, obviously, Richard Lucas, your dad. I've done a little, I think you even did maybe some TV with his dad.
Ducks.
Yep.
For the Ducks. Mm-hmm. You went to Westview.
I did.
And then Kansas. But you had a lot of, like, what were your options?
All over the place. A lot of Pac-12 was really where I was considering going early on. And then it started opening up. I took some visits out to... like Tennessee, I talked to Duke a little, Harvard, Vanderbilt, and then all the Pac-12 schools. So
why Kansas? Because Kansas, I mean,
yeah,
you know, like talent coming out of it, the wazoo out there, right?
Yeah, and you know, Self warned me about that too. I remember on my visit there, he sat me down with Danny Manning and let me know, hey, we're going to recruit somebody else over you next year. So be ready for that. And I was like, okay, well, I like the challenge. And I ended up accepting it. And
yeah, because you could have gone, like some of those schools you could have gone, you could have gone and averaged 20 and 10 right away.
And you know, they promise you all kinds of stuff, you know, at those other schools. And so, but I like the challenge. I like the honesty from Coach Self going into it. And ultimately, it played a big factor in my decision.
Well, it's funny. It's like you, every kid that goes to Kansas, every kid that goes to Duke, every kid that goes to North Carolina, you're used to being the biggest fish, right? I mean, is it an adjustment, though? I mean, your whole life, right? You're the guy, and you get to Kansas, and you're one of the guys.
Yeah, and it's a shock for a lot of kids when they get there, and that's why you see so many transfers. I mean, I came into Kansas with a freshman class where I believe three didn't make it out of freshman year, and then we had one more transfer after that. So, you know, it's just
a factory, and whoever can hang on. Because you were saying the best player, we were talking about this, and the best player that you ever saw is a guy that nobody, at Kansas while you were there, played with a lot of guys, is a guy that nobody would know. That the Green kid, Brennan Green.
Oh, right? Yeah, the shooter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're like, dude, the guy was unbelievable.
Yeah.
But he couldn't keep his head on, he couldn't, you know, keep his stuff in line, and he never played.
Yeah. I mean,
and now he's long gone.
It's tough.
It's just like they just bring in talent, and whoever sticks, like you, you're smart enough to figure it out. They'll keep you. If not, like LeGerald Vick, boom,
gone.
Right in the middle of the season, gone. Yeah. Unbelievable. So we got to get this right out of the way. Landon, for my Jayhawks, he was part of the team that lost to the Ducks.
That got ducked.
Okay. Here
goes. In Kansas City in the NCAA tournament a couple years ago.
Yes.
Huge win. We have a lot of Duck fans that listen to us. We're the home of the Ducks here. And so a lot of their fans, like that was you got to admit, that was a huge game for them.
It was huge. I understand too. I mean, being from here, I heard about it leading up to the game from everybody. You know, my father was on shows talking about it.
He was on this show.
Yeah, we brought him on.
This was the one? Okay.
Yeah, he came on here.
So I knew how big it was for Oregon, and it obviously was big for us too. But we were very confident going into that game, and around halftime, not so confident. So
yeah, they were good.
That was a good one.
They were good.
They caught you off guard, didn't they?
Well, we didn't underestimate them at all. I think it was a shock to us coming off of the run we were having, and then beating Purdue so handily, to not be able to just shoot the ball. It's like we forgot how to shoot and forgot how to play. And then you just see it kind of trickle down, and then it rubs off on the whole team. And, you know, at halftime, I think it was only a 3-point game or 5-point game or something like that. I think Dorsey hit a big three to going into half. And yet we felt like something's wrong. You know, it just was one of those games that just something doesn't feel right. And unfortunately, the way the tournament works, you can't recover from that, you know? And so that was it after that.
What's the deepest run you made in the tournament when you were in Kansas?
It was two Elite Eights. So my final two seasons, we were the junior year, we were the number one overall seed. My senior year, I believe we were either number one overall or number two overall, but still a number one seed. Two great teams and two elite. It was like our bad game. Every team's going to have a bad game in the tournament. And our bad game came in the Elite Eight twice.
But it's interesting that for, you know, Oregon obviously made the run to the Final Four. But for Oregon or 95% of the teams, you make an Elite Eight.
Oh, yeah.
You're hanging banners. Yeah, and yet
we're disappointed about
that. I listen to you talk about not one but two Elite Eights.
Oh, it's disappointing. Yeah. I mean, when you come off of a season – like we had those last few years and are at a school like that, you're expected to win it all. And we had it in our head that we were going to win it all. And so it's tough, especially that junior year. I mean, Villanova ended up going on to win it all. And they smacked Oklahoma in the Final Four and then hit that shot in the championship game. So it's tough, but I mean, that's what you get for going to a school like that.
Well, that's the tournament. This is Landon Lucas. And, you know, as a Kansas fan, it's like, it's agonizing for us. I can't imagine what it's like for you guys. Like, what is it like to have all that pressure and playing in the, you know, in the one and done scenario like that, the NCAA tournament?
Well, you know, I get asked that all the time. And actually, you know, the pressure during the game and all that isn't, you don't feel as much. I mean, I even remember there was the triple overtime game against Oklahoma where we went to, it was 1-2 during the regular season. We went in triple overtime. I've watched that game back and was more nervous than I was playing in those three overtimes, you know? So that's kind of how the tournament is. However, I will say that first weekend is just stressful because you don't want to lose. I mean, as
well,
a top
Kansas,
seed.
Kansas has an, and not that, I mean,
They've had their moments.
They've had their moments. Oh, I was going to say, it's not necessarily a an undeserved reputation for a school as good as Kansas. Look, there's a reputation there for getting bounced early.
Oh, my first 2 years, my freshman and sophomore year, we lost in the round of 32 first weekend, you know. And that first weekend is just stressful. You know, every other team is out there having a good old time. They're just happy to make the tournament. And we're sitting there like, if we go home, you know, it's hard to go back to Lawrence after that, you know. And so, and then as soon as you make it to the second weekend, it starts, that's when we start having fun, so... that first weekend is definitely as those top seeds go into it, it's stressful.
When you play, you mentioned you're playing a team that's a 15 or a 16 seed, and they've got nothing to worry about. Yeah. How much of a difference is it when you have a talent level of Kansas and you're playing a smaller school? Is it as great as we think it is? Is it an overall talent thing? What's the difference between the elite schools and you know, the back half of those tourney teams?
I'll be honest, those teams are pretty talented, but you know, you kind of go into the game and the first 5 minutes always seem like, oh wow, they're a little better than we expected, because we go a whole season without playing a team of that level.
Yeah.
Especially going through the Big 12, and our non-conference is pretty good usually too. And then you just slowly look up at the scoreboard, and then 10 minutes later look up again, and next thing you know, we're up 35 or something like that. So, you know, the talent is there, and that's why, you know, if you don't bring it that night, if that's your off game, you could go home, as you saw with Virginia last year. But over the course of a game, you'll start to see the gap. So,
and then you went and played. So after Kansas, you went and played in Japan.
Yes.
So and then Russia.
Yeah. So after Kansas, I went through the summer league with the Celtics. I was with them all the way up until that season. Ended up going over to Tokyo,
Blend right in.
He speaks Japanese.
A little bit.
He does.
But then I ended up going over to Russia, where again I didn't blend in. But
how was
it was
that?
Cold too.
Yeah.
It was cold, and I couldn't understand most of them.
Well, didn't we had that soccer player on who played in Russia, who was reporting back like coaches were.
Yeah, it was not.
What was she saying? Crazy? Like, oh my God, yeah, like
it was Thunderdome basically. Like, there's no no code of conduct.
There aren't really any rules,
so to speak.
No, you got to be careful. You know, some places, because they will take advantage of that, and they will. Yeah, there's some teams you gotta kind of vet through to make sure you're going to the right spot.
So playing overseas, is that, well, I mean, obviously it's a good thing or guys wouldn't do it, but are all those leagues like really helpful to you?
They are. I mean, they're really good competition out there, to be honest. I mean, like EuroLeague and stuff like that, you'll see. I mean, those are some of the top players outside of the NBA, and that's how you see a guy like Luka, play and grow up playing with Real Madrid in the EuroLeague, and then, I mean, he's transitioned just fine into the NBA. So it's good talent out there. I mean, it's tough. It's definitely not easy.
How do you decide? Like, you can obviously make a living over there, right? You're good money, but you're not making NBA money.
Yeah.
And, you know, you bounce around country to country. It can be tough. When do you decide enough is enough, or when do you decide that this is a life that I want to pursue for 10, 15 years?
Well, I would say it's – a lot of guys look for stability overseas. So if you could get with one of those big teams, you know, in a good place, if you end up being with an Olympiacos or a, you know, Real Madrid or Barcelona or something, and you sign a long-term contract, that's pretty good. And you're going, you know, long-term to long-term, living in a nice place, your celebrities over there getting paid a ton, tax-free. Like, it's great. Ooh. You know, so that's okay for a lot of people. I think the hardest decision for a lot of people is when they – give up the NBA dream, because you know you see a lot of guys going through the G League, going through that process, and then it's like, you know, overseas is a lot of money, and it's not top end NBA money, but at the end of the day it could be low end NBA money. So it's that decision, and then at some point, once your body kind of starts giving out, then you got to make the decision, okay, am I done?
Is there that stigma there, like you said, with guys, it's like it's the NBA or bust, and guys have a hard time wrapping their head around that?
Yeah, I mean, growing up, you don't really learn much about how overseas works and how fun it actually is. I mean, with the Champions League, the Euro League, all the stuff going on out there, I knew not one thing about it. I knew about the NBA. And you get over there and you're like, oh, this is kind of fun. You know, it's a good time, a good experience. But if until then, you're just hung up on the NBA, you know, and that's all that you're striving for. And that's why you see guys get caught up in the G League and just going on 10 days
the G
and be
League.
Happy with that.
Isn't that horrible? Everything I hear about that league is like, is not.
There's bus rides and crappy hotels.
Oklahoma City, I think, even stays in like the same houses and stuff like the players do. And compared to overseas, even though I was in Russia and stuff, the apartment they got me had a sauna in it, like in my room. And like, it was a nice little loft and you're getting paid well and stuff. I would much rather do that than bus around. I mean, the two ways and the different things, if you're guaranteed call-ups, okay, give the G League a shot. If not, you know, I'd
rather go overseas.
If you're okay with adjusting to it and being away from home, which is the big thing for a lot of people, if you're okay with that, there's no reason to stay in the
I would assume a lot of that, too, is just a maturity level. No offense to a lot of,
it's true.
I mean, it's the same thing, you know, me bumming around the low parts of the NFL for a year or two. A lot of those kids that are coming out of school are just your grown children.
Yeah.
And the idea of being overseas away from mom and dad and away from the structure of the NCAA where everything is taken care of for you, I'm sure for a lot of kids or young men is just it's too much to handle with the language barrier, culture barrier, all that, and being able to keep your head on.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Landon Lucas in studio. I want to ask you about Zion.
Okay.
I want your take on Zion.
Okay.
And Suk wants to needle you about Finley
Prep. Yeah, we got
to
talk about Finley Prep okay. and the, I'm sure,
also,
the fine
the
academics.
Wonderful classes.
Yes,
right?
That you went to.
Our listeners want to know, we already have a text. They want to know how much Bill Self paid you.
No comment.
Here they come. Yeah. All right, more with Landon Lucas in studio next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're in studio with Landon Lucas, who played his college ball at Kansas. And right now, you are, because we were talking about you were in Japan and you were in Russia.
Yep.
But what are you doing now for this upcoming season?
So for this upcoming season, I decided to turn my efforts back towards the NBA. I figured I still am young enough to give this, you know, another good run.
25.
Which is old in NBA age, but you know, I still have a chance. And after my experience with the Celtics and how that went, I mean, it was really good, and they ended up freeing up some space with the trade that they made with Avery Bradley, but you know, it was there. And so I really just want to pursue the NBA right now. And I know that might mean a little G League, but I'm hoping that it means, you know, at least some call-ups with that or some guaranteed, you know, some kind of two way.
Yeah.
When do you find that? Like, what's that product? Do you wait until the off season and then catch on with someone? Yeah. Agent talking to people right now?
Agent's talking to people. And you know, they talk to him, kind of talk about what their opportunities are on the team. And then you go into summer league. And then summer league is kind of where you kind of establish yourself with that team or get picked up by a different team going into training camp. And then you kind of just go through training camp. And I'm sure you know through the NFL process, I mean, it's a long,
you got to
make
it
through different stages and have things go your way. I mean, if you're, you know, player 8 through 15, you just got to have some things, find a little niche on a team that works. And next thing you know, it turns into a nice little career after that.
I've always said it. I played with guys over in NFL Europe, or you play with guys in camp that you thought were just absolute dog crap.
Yeah.
And then you turn around and you see that they're playing 9 years
exactly.
in the league. And another guy that you just would have sworn was the best thing ever.
And he didn't make it.
It's so much. Yeah. Just right place, right time. And a system that fits you and a coach that believes in.
And that's the thing. I mean, a coach, really, if you're one of those later, if you're not in the main rotation, you're only getting in for injuries or something happening. And so if that's the case, they're going to pick guys more so based off of how you fit in with the team. How do you make those other guys better? You know, I was at Oklahoma City and I went through a workout and every single drill that they put me through was how Westbrook drives to the hoop and how he would, you know, where they want you to be around him, different things like that. That's all they care about. If you're the type of guy that you're going to come into the game and get him, you know, his way, I promise you that you're not going to be on the team. I don't care how good you are, but, you know, you're not going to be there. And so that's really all it is, and that's what they're looking for.
Interesting. All right, so then Zion, what do you think of him? Did you, I know you saw a little bit of the game last night.
Yeah, he's a because
you guys same size, right? Like, so what are you, 6'8"?
So flat footed, I measure in at 6'8" and about 3/4. So that means with shoes and with the program measurements, I'm 6'10".
Right.
So but
the
he's
Kyler
probably
Murray measurements.
No, right. But he's probably about, I'm guessing, probably 6'7".
So people call him like a tweener because he's, you know, 6'7". Is that a thing, or is he just going to go to the NBA and dominate?
He's going to the NBA. I mean, you'll see that the way he dominates is just, it's a man amongst boys. And it's how he was in high school, and it's how he is now in college, and it's how he's going to be in the NBA. I mean, you can tell by a night like last night where he doesn't, you know, he goes 13 for 13. That shows that, I mean, it's
too
easy for him.
Yeah, it's
easy. You know, and when you're that size, it doesn't matter what position you play. You know, the way the NBA is now, just get in the ball, you know, drive to the hoop. So,
and a lot of it's about wingspan too. Like, a lot of people get caught up in height.
Yes.
But it's like, it's not about where your head's at. It's what's where
exactly
you can reach.
And that's, and when we were going through, draft workouts and stuff like that, I ended up going to a majority of the teams, and almost each one of them would do the height, but they did a ton of, you know, standing reach, wingspan, and they put a lot more emphasis on that because it makes sense. Where you can reach up in the air is a lot more effective than where the top of your head is.
Talk about that and just what that means, because you see all the time in college guys that are just phenomenal scorers.
Yeah.
You know, whether, you know, you're talking about a big man or the one that I remember, like Jimmer Fredette or Adam Morrison, someone like that shoots the lights out, can score from anyone on the floor. And they get in the NBA, and you can't get a shot off. Is that one of the biggest differences between the college game and the NBA? Because you don't think about the NBA as being like this defensive-minded league. But you got these guys in the NCAA that can't be stopped, and they can't get a shot off in the NBA.
I mean, it's true. I mean, it's exactly what you said. You can't get a shot off. I mean, you can't get an open look, whereas in college, man, they could, you know, come off a few screens, and they were there. It's tough. That's why the one thing that does translate – that you know for sure is that size, that athleticism that he has, that's going to translate. You know, the same way that people talk about rebounding translating or different things like that, there's some things that no matter what level you go to, it's still going to be there. And that size and strength is one thing that's going to translate just fine.
And does the body have to change a little bit? I'm not saying he's fat.
Yeah.
But he does not look, there's not many guys that look like him in the NBA.
Yeah.
He looks more defensive lineman-ish than he does. And I remember like Kevin Love at UCLA, and then Kevin Love in the NBA, it's a completely different body type.
I think it will change a little bit, but I mean, every time I'm always worried that he might get hurt, you know, with the way he jumps and lands at.
That's a lot of weight.
But I've heard from people who are at Duke with him that sometimes he weighs in 280 plus easy, you know, but I've also heard with guys who were with LeBron in Miami that was a normal weigh-in for him as well. And so, you know, it seems outrageous to us, but he might just be one of those, you know, once-in-a-lifetime type freaks like LeBron, where it's like, okay, it looks like that's too much, but he can make it work.
Do you have to go?
No.
Can you stick around?
Of course.
Let's do another one, because Sook's got to needle you about Finley.
Yeah, I've got questions. Fine. I've got questions, and I need answers.
Okay.
The answers that only Finley Prep can give you, I'm sure, that fine academic career.
I'm curious, too. And I want to get into a lot of your charity stuff. I know you did a lot of good stuff in Lawrence that you want to bring back here, and so we'll talk about that coming up. This is Landon Lucas in studio on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.